If you're rocking to get up and it's not a rocking chair, it's time for the Joint Relief Institute. Fast relief, covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Oh, hi! Good morning. Come on in. You're just in time. Take a seat.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Roo. Sir, I have a problem with my boiler.
How about some coffee? Cream, sugar?
What is the best backup generator made today?
Blueberry scone, perhaps?
When you turn on the hot water, it whistles like a train.
Get comfy, because Lou Casa, Tu Casa. And he's taking your questions till 10. Right here on the Mr. Fix-It Show with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome to my house. 7:13 in the morning. Hi, everybody. Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show, sponsored by the Lindemann Chimney Company and by PermaSeal Basement Systems. Welcome to the house. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Good morning, Veronica, Sam, Lindsay, Ferguson in the back room. Nice to see you all.
Good morning. You look very cheery in your bright green,
Blackhawks sweater.
I like it.
Very excited.
You're in a mood today.
I am in a mood today.
I can tell.
Yeah, I'm excited. I don't know why. I had a good night's sleep. I went out to a fabulous dinner. And listen to this. You know where you can find some of the best restaurants, Veronica? In a strip mall.
Really?
Yeah. So last night we went out to dinner with some friends in Northbrook. You know, when you think of fine Mexican restaurants, you think of Northbrook, right?
Sure.
I don't think you do.
Okay.
Right?
I was thinking, you know.
I'm going to remember the name.
Little Village.
Hold
or,
it.
You know.
Hold for a second. Mesa Urbana, which Mallory came home from a basketball game later in the evening. And we go, oh, we went to this restaurant, Mesa. She goes, oh, Urban Table.
Yeah.
You know, she speaks the Spanish. She speaks of the Spanish.
Se hablo.
Se hablo. She does. She actually speaks Spanish very well. It was really good. And it's on Milwaukee Avenue in a strip mall. Place was jam-packed. So, not that you're going to go to Northbrook because you live way south. Sam, where do you live? North, south, east, west?
Way south. The
way
deep
south.
Oh,
yeah. Down in Mobile?
There's
Is that
cactus.
Where you're at? Mobile?
Yeah. I pass cactuses on the way up.
Oh, my gosh.
Or so cacti.
Can I tell you something? And I'm not, this is not, yesterday I'm in my office working, and I don't know how I got, all of a sudden I started thinking about homes in Florida, okay? I don't know why, and I went, have you spent any time on that Zillow.com at all?
Oh, yeah.
Veronica, have you ever?
Yeah, that in Trulia. Mm-hmm.
You have, I know Lindsay's nodding. All of a sudden, you know, all those little dots come up, and I'm plugging in, and I'm looking at houses all up and down the western and eastern seaboard of Florida. Just it's almost like an addiction if you're on there. It's incredible.
So many houses, and you got to check them all out.
So many houses, mm-hmm. And you check them all out. And then what I was amazed at, like down in Florida, is you're like, wow, look at this beautiful house on the water. Oh, my gosh, it's $900,000. I mean, which is a lot of money. And then you start looking at the pictures, and the whole thing needs to be remodeled.
Mm-hmm.
The entire thing. It's like the kitchen from the 70s. And I'm thinking, who buys these places and then goes down there and spends all that money? It's incredible.
People with money, obviously.
Well, yeah. Right.
I have a confession to make.
Confess away.
It was 37 degrees when I left the house. There was snow on the window. I had gloves on. I flicked on Christmas music today on the way
oh,
in.
Oh, I'm not ready. No.
Not yet?
I'm with
no,
you.
No, Mallory.
I'm with you, Sam.
I tossed
You're
it
already
on today.
Listening?
Yes.
I had to.
We went to a tree lighting last night. I did all my decorations already.
You sound a little better.
Thank you.
Yeah. I can't do it.
I took the stations that play the Christmas music this early off of my presets.
I have my own playlist.
I was speaking with Carmen, our daughter, who's going to school in New York, and she's like, oh, I'm all into listening to Christmas. When I'm walking to class, I listen to Christmas music. Mallory and I said, no. Thanksgiving, after Thanksgiving.
I'm thinking like
I got
December
the Michael Bublé
20th.
Ready to go in the car. I'm ready to go with the Michael Bublé.
Hit me up December 20th and I'll be ready.
Yeah.
December 20th?
Oh, no, that's way too late. Come on. You're like a Grinch.
Get with the program.
Come on.
I used to be the opposite. I used to have like 7 Christmas trees in my house.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
What
I'm starting to see it. I got to get out and decorate. I got to get out. And, I mean,
Really, last week would have been the time to do it with that beautiful weather. Yeah, you could do all that decorating.
I was like, I can't let this go to waste.
Did you decorate?
I did. I all outside. We're done.
My wife's already announced, I need, when you come home, I need you to bring all the boxes up for the inside. Ooh. I hate bringing the boxes up.
Do you help decorate, or does she? Is that her?
I'm in charge of bringing the boxes up. They're big boxes. And putting them away. I help a little bit. I'm the outside guy. That's my thing. Yeah. All right, we got a lot coming up today. Check this out. Our Noodaloo 2 is something that you plug into your phone, and it will tell you where the drafts and the heat loss are in your house. It's awesome. Then after 8:35 this morning, we're going to talk to the president and CEO of the Northern Illinois Food Bank. Now, this time of year, of course, talk about how many people are hungry and need to be fed. Their need is 24/7, 365 days a year. And so we want to make sure that we're constantly helping to fight hunger in this country and in this city. Then this is all new. Do we know exactly how we're doing this? After 9 o'clock this morning, Veronica, are you a drinker?
Nope.
Not at all.
No, I really used to like beer, but it gives me a headache now. And I can't drink it. Never got into the other stuff.
The reason I didn't ask Sam is because I knew the answer to the question. But after 9 o'clock, we're doing a little wine tasting. From our friends at Binny's.
All throughout the month, next month.
All throughout the month, Veronica, you may want to reconsider because we are going to be featuring some of the wines. And, you know, when you're trying to select a wine, like the selection today is for Thanksgiving. I think a lot of people struggle with what, you know, should I serve? I've got a lot of people coming over and what should I serve? So the folks at Binny's have dropped off samples. This is going to make Kathy Lee and Hoda blush to see the amount of wine we're going to drink after 9 o'clock this morning. So I think the whole reason I'm excited was because of that. And it's all these wines will be available at your local Binny's, both suburban and city locations. We'll have more information coming up after 9 this morning. Right now, let's get your phone calls. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Kevin is in Lombard. You are on WGN. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys. So quick question for you. I have a house that was built in the 1950s. I recently upgraded my furnace to a 96 efficient furnace single stage.
Okay.
I have a ranch home, about 1,500 square feet. My front of my house faces west. The windows are about 20 years old, and I'm just struggling to find efficiency in my house in terms of my energy bills. I feel like my energy bills through ComEd and NiCor just are not where they should be if I've upgraded my furnace and my windows are relatively well. So I'm looking for a company that can either come by the house and give me a thorough walkthrough of what needs to be fixed and what doesn't need to be fixed, or how I can improve the efficiency of my house, because I've gone to LED lights in my house, and I just feel like I'm still always backpedaling instead of going forward.
All right, so can I ask you what's an average electric bill?
So during the summertime, I keep my AC no lower than 74 degrees, and so it's about $140. And in the wintertime, I just did a program last year where I had the same, you had to pay the same amount for the whole year long. You had a budget fix. But I don't keep my heat really above 68. And at the when the evening comes, I drop it down to about 63 after 10:30.
Okay.
My bills are still over $110 a month for my gas bills.
Wow. All right.
And I have a family of four. There's three other women in my family. But
right.
Those, my daughters and my wife, but
can I tell you something? The women,
yep.
They cost you the most money.
Yeah,
that's just a thing. That's just a thing in life. It's not a sexist thing. It's just a true thing. What are you nodding? You agree, right?
Yes, I'm very.
Women are more expensive than men.
Yes.
I mean, unless they like to hunt and fish and stuff, because that's super expensive. Mm-hmm. All right, so I take that all back. There are a couple companies. Why am I blanking on the name of the company?
I'm sorry, I was confused when you were talking to me before.
I'm talking to you.
Okay, go.
I'm talking to you. There's a company in Chicago that comes in and eliminates drafts, and they do the, they were, I'm totally having a moment.
Did we interview them on the show?
We have interviewed them on the show, and they were even a sponsor where they come to your house and they do a whole energy audit, and they'll insulate the home and they'll, caulk everywhere and eliminate the drafts. It's called, there is a company, Kevin, and it's going to come to me. They're in Chicago. They're on the north side. They're across the street from the Marianos on Elston Avenue. I see their trucks.
I've been to their offices, and I completely am having a moment right now. So
really,
we,
you're really blowing the sponsorship for the next month.
I know. Well, see, this is the thing. If they were a sponsor, a regular sponsor, I'd remember their name, right? Because if you need your basement, if you need your basement fixed, you'd call Permaseal. And if you needed new vinyl windows, you'd call Gilkey Windows, right? See, these are all the people that consistently advertise. So do me a favor. Keep hanging on, and I'm going to come up with the name in a second. Right now, we need to take a quick break. Lou Manfredini, the Mr. Fix-It Show. We'll be right back.
Now back to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show, answering your questions since 1995 on 720 WGN.
He was a famous trumpet man from all Chicago way. He had a boogie.
Okay, Kevin, I'm not crazy. It's Smart Seal, the name of the company, but we think they might be out of business. Okay? They should have advertised. But so here's what I want you to do. I mean, you're doing all the right things, and if you've replaced your furnace, tell me, and the water heater is relatively new.
I just replaced the furnace this 2 weeks ago and the water heater 2 weeks ago, and they're installing the new AC with the new upgraded coil in the spring.
Right.
I have all LED lights in my kitchen, my living room.
Right. And you're certain that they're doing real readings, not estimates on your bills?
I'm fairly certain, yeah. I have the smart meter through ComEd, so I think it's going to be
But what about the gas bill?
I'd have to check with the NICOR gas bill, yeah.
Okay, because I think both ComEd and NICOR will do energy audits.
I'm having ComEd come out in a couple weeks, actually, to come out.
Oh, yeah. Doing... Tell people about this.
So I feel like I have to believe it or see it to believe it, but my parents heard from somebody that if you call ComEd, they'll come out.
Terry and Jim.
Yes, they'll do a home energy audit for you at no charge, replace all of your light
there's
bulbs
more.
And blah, blah.
They replace all your light bulbs.
Yeah, with LEDs.
Right. He's already done that. Use your cough button, please. You sound like Steve Cochran. He's constantly coughing on the radio. It drives me crazy.
And I kept thinking there was a catch, but they said it was totally free. So I called, and they're coming out December 7th, I believe, and they're going to do this whole thing.
So they can come out, Kevin, and they can plug stuff in and say, oh, my gosh, there's like a feed here. There's a this or there's a that from an energy perspective. Everything you're doing is the right thing. And, you know, once you with like the LED bulbs, for instance, you know, the color temperature and all those things look so good. And if you put them on dimmers and everything, once you do that, you're going to lower your energy bills. If you keep listening, our Noodaloo 2, which is coming up in about another 15 minutes, is something you could plug into your phone and find out where you could find out where some of the heat loss is in the home. So keep listening to that. Let's send him something as well, since we gave him the question. I couldn't remember the name of the company. Somewhere I have a prize list. How about we send him we have gift cards to Apt, right?
Yes.
Let's send him a gift card to Apt. So hold on 1 second. We'll take a quick break and then get to news.
What I will tell you is if they're going to do that underground, and they're going to think you're so smart too, Phyllis, when you say this, when you use the PVC pipe, I want you to use Schedule 80 pipe.
Schedule 80.
Just say it like that. Make sure you're using Schedule 80. Say it with confidence like that, and the guy's going to be like, oh, my God, this lady's a genius.
Now back to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7:40 in the morning. Hey, are you in charge of the turkey this Thanksgiving? Get a bottle of Jackie's Mom's seasoning and spice up that gobbler. Grab some bottles at your local Hy-Vee, Edgebrook Ace Hardware, Villa Park Ace, Palina Meat Market, or you can order online, jackiesmomsseasoning.com. That's jackiesmomsseasoning.com. It's one of my go-to seasonings. Oh, I love it. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's talk to Frank in Carpentersville. Frank, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. You know, I have a question. I have a townhome, and on the second floor, I have a loft, and there's a load-bearing column about, it's an 8-foot ceiling, and about 6 feet off the ground, the drywall on the column is bulging.
About 6 feet off the ground, the drywall is bulging, and how tall is that column?
Well, there's a header near the ceiling, so the column is about 7 feet tall and about 8 inches wide.
Okay. And to the best of your knowledge, there is a is it a piece of wood? Is it a metal column, or do you have any idea what's under there?
Well, because it's load-bearing, I would assume that it's a townhome, and I saw the framework of the home when it was being built. I'm assuming it's wood.
Okay.
Because it's load-bearing. But it's just, it would be a steel.
But it's just the drywall bulging. In other words, when you look at this column, if you put a four-foot level on it or a straight line, is the column itself straight, or is the whole thing bowing?
No, it's straight. If you run your hand along the surface of the drywall and you just feel that the drywall is bulging, and before I started to rip off the drywall, I wanted to really know what I may be getting myself into.
Yeah. When you're when you look at the header where it comes across, everything there looks straight and sound. You're not seeing any cracks up above?
No cracks at all whatsoever.
And when you said 6 feet up from the ground, it's bulging. Is that bulging portion just a small area, or is it from 6 feet up? It goes all the way up.
No, it's about the area. If you fold a dollar bill in half, that's about the area where it's bulging.
All right, take a utility knife. Cut it out. Cut that section out completely. I'm going to guess it's a 4x4 underneath there, or a 6x6, and just cut out the bulged part of the drywall. It could just be something that's separated. It could be a screw that popped right there in that small area. And cut that out. Inspect it. Make sure you don't see anything structurally underneath there. Slide a new piece of drywall in. Tape it. Finish it. Paint it. You're good to go. You shouldn't have any structural issues to worry about. That's just a capping, like putting a hat on your head, and can be replaced with no problem whatsoever. Thanks so much for the phone call. Let's talk to Pat in Downers Grove. Hi, Pat. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Morning.
How can I help you, sir?
I have a woodpecker problem, and I think I got rid of them. But they put holes in my siding that went straight through the siding. And the back side of it, it's hollow. So I went to the hardware store trying to figure out how I could put something on the backside so I could fill it. And they don't have any idea, because otherwise you fill a hole and it just keeps dropping in. It's hollow back there.
Okay. Are you familiar with what foam rope insulation is?
I tried that. I don't know if I had a bad chance because I sprayed it in the.
No. Not the spray foam. This you're going to buy in a. You're going to buy in a roll. They come in different sizes, so it's like a piece of spaghetti.
Okay.
And it's foam, so it's like a rope. It's almost like a rope, but it's a foam rope that you can just break apart. You're going to buy way more than you need, and it comes in, you know, 1/4 inch, 3/8, 5/8 inch, all the way up to that size. And you're going to cut a little piece of it, and you're going to jam it in the holes where those woodpeckers came from, or where they dug the holes, rather. And you're gonna just take a screwdriver and kind of tap it in, and so it gives you a backing, okay?
Oh, yes.
And all you need to leave is, you know, if you can leave 1/8 of an inch, even 1/4 is better, then you're going to use a wood patch inside that hole. It'll back up with this foam rope. It's an insulation product. Oh. It's in the insulation section of the hardware store. And and you'll pop that in, you'll patch it, at least get you through the winter, you know, maybe even spot prime. It would be nice if you could spot prime it, even just to get you through the winter, because if you leave that raw, it's going to absorb too much moisture.
Right.
And the trick there is when you put the patch in, I want you to, is it cedar siding?
Yes.
Okay. So you're going to put that patch in with a putty knife. I want you to get a nylon scrubbing brush or a paint brush, like a stiffer paint brush. Once you get it all filled in, then I want you to take the paintbrush across the surface of the patch to give it a little texture and let that dry so that when you paint it, it will match. Capiche?
Okay. I got it. What was the name of the product? I didn't hear that.
It's a foam. It's a foam insulation rope. Where do you live? Where do you live, Pat? Downers Grove. You got an Ace? You got an Ace in Downers Grove?
Yes.
Go to their insulation aisle. They'll have it under the Mecklenburg Duncan MD brand, and there'll be all different sizes of this rope. You'll have plenty to give to the neighbors. And it's the rope's going to cost you $5.
I think I know what you're talking about. They're round.
Yeah.
They're like, are they yellow?
No, it's gray. It's gray in color.
Gray? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. That's good because I've been paid. I put something that's spray foam in.
No.
And then it's just.
Yeah, and then it'll and then it and then it comes back and it's in your way. This way you can control it by just sticking it in there with a screwdriver. And then you can adjust it accordingly, put the patch in, put the brush over the top, get the texture, and it'll look great. Thanks so much for the phone call. 7:47 in the morning. Our Noodaloo 2 is something you plug into your phone, and it's going to help you with your energy bills and make you more comfortable in your home. Olé, olé, olé,
olé. Feeling hot, hot, hot. Cold, colder, okay, warmer, warmer, getting warmer, hot, hot. Nope, I'm not playing the hide-and-seek game with one of my kids. I'm playing with this week's new Tulu 2, the Seek Thermal. Seek Thermal gives you infrared thermal imaging that was once only available for the military and other professionals. It's a tiny camera that attaches to your smartphone so you can get a thermal image of anything around you, showing you a temperature snapshot of your environment. What would you use this for, you ask? Good question. Ever wonder where that cold air is coming from in your living room? Or maybe you're trying to figure out where a pipe is leaking. Or maybe you're a chef that wants to find out your grill's hot and cool spots. Seek is also useful for home security to see if any unwanted animals or humans are getting into your backyard at night. At $250, the price is a bit steep, but a professional thermal imaging tech can cost thousands of dollars. So the Seek is one of the first systems to make this kind of gear more accessible to the masses. Oh, and it can fit right in your pocket. To find out more, visit thermal.com or check out Lou's Facebook page. You are on fire, baby. That's this week's New to Lou 2.
It's awesome. Did you this little device on this Seek Thermal? I mean, I'm holding my fingers apart by about 2 inches.
It's like the length of your phone, right? Like the short length of your phone.
The width of the phone.
The width, yes.
And it plugs into the part where you you charge the phone.
Right.
You download the app and bang, it's immediate. And you open it up and you can start shining it on the windows and doors. You're like, oh my gosh, it's always so cold in this part of the house. What's going on? And it'll show you where the thermal break is. Or if you go on the outside and you want to see the heat loss there, it's incredible. It's so cool. How much is it?
$250.
Yeah. And they even have a pro version. They sent me a sample of that, which is its own device.
Right. That's for, like, professionals. That's
right. But, I mean, yeah, if you're a home inspector, my gosh, you look like a genius walking around the house going, well, Mrs. Smithwick, over here, you got the 4960 there, and you push the button, and there you go, and you look like a complete pro, which you are. And it's cool.
My question is, how far can you see? So, like, it mentions something about you can see animals or humans. Which is creepy, get into your backyard. So if you're standing in your home and you point it out the window, like how far can you see?
Yeah, I don't know that you could point it out the window because it would pick the reading up. But the camera is adjustable.
Oh, okay. Well, but how far? Like even if you open the window or open the door and you pointed it out in your backyard.
I think you'd probably find the guy right as he slapped you. right as he hit you with the baseball bat. Oh, there he comes. Oh, ow. I saw him.
Someone's there, yeah.
I saw him.
Hot.
Yeah. What is that? Ooh, ow, my head hurts. So, yeah, there are, versions of this professional where you could see probably for miles, you know, like in the military. But this is not that kind of device. This is for your home. Yeah, you can see outside a little bit. I mean, I bet that, okay, for instance, you know what it would be good for? You know there's a skunk living under your deck, okay, but you can't see him. If you went and pointed it under there, it would see that. Ooh, he's over there in the corner, right as he sprays you.
I was going to say, hopefully not too close.
I would think skunks, both male and female skunks, spray you. He or she, right?
I think
they both do.
Should have asked our guests last week.
Oh, my gosh. That's right. I love those kids.
I know.
Yeah. So anyway, the information is up on my Facebook page. Take a look at that. And it's cool. It's really neat. Seek Thermal. It'd be a great Christmas gift for like that gadgety person in your life. Really would. And it's so easy to use. I think it's pretty cool. Seek Thermal. We'll take a quick break and be back after this.
Just a minute. I have to tell you, I went to Menards, and I got a hold of a guy in the paint section, and he said, oh, I listen to Lou Manfredini all the time. And don't get anything else because you won't be satisfied because Lou told you so.
Some nights I stay up cashing in my bad luck. Some nights I call it a draw.
8:10 in the morning.
Some nights I wish that my lips could build a castle.
The Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. This hour, the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Ace Hardware and by Fox Home Center. Coming up after 8:30 this morning, after the 8:30 news, we're going to talk to someone from the Illinois Food Bank and all the challenges that they have going on to make sure we can keep people fed. Northern Illinois Food Bank. Find out what you can do to help during this season and throughout the entire year. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Here's Tim in Des Plaines. Hey, Tim, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, how can I help you, sir?
You know, I got an odor coming from inside my vanity, which is, you know, under the kitchen, under the bathroom sink, where all the piping is.
In the cabinet?
Yes. And it seemed like it was after I did some cleaning out. I had a slow-running drain, and I used a power rotter.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like after that, I'm seeming to notice this smell. Not quite as strong as it's as if you took the pipes off and smelled what's in that hole, you know?
Right.
But it smells like it's kind of like that. I don't understand why.
You have no leaking anywhere?
No leaks.
And you don't smell it? In other words, if you're at the sink itself and the cabinet's closed, you don't smell it?
No, I don't smell it. You know, like in the summertime when I opened up the doors and the air was on, boy, it just hit me like a ton of bricks, you know.
Mm. I wonder if you cracked a pipe.
Okay, maybe inside the wall, you mean?
Right, and you made a crack, and you're getting some sewer smell coming through there. The thing is that if everything is sealed on the inside, the trap is sealed, the connection to where it goes in the wall is sealed, everything's tight and you don't see any water, but then you put your nose down there and you start smelling it there, my guess is you got a crack in the pipe. How old is the house?
Probably about 60 years.
Okay, so it's probably a galvanized metal pipe or something inside there.
Yeah, I think it's black, I think, from what I can tell from where I make my connections at, you know. Possibly I cracked it when I was using the power router?
Perhaps. And you don't smell it above the sink, right? And when the cabinet's closed, if you're brushing your teeth, you don't smell it?
No, I don't smell it, no.
Okay, because sometimes you can have an odor coming from the actual drain itself. But if it's underneath there, and let me ask you this, what's underneath that bathroom there? Is that on a first floor or is that a second floor?
Yeah, we're just a ranch house, so I've got a basement underneath there.
All right, so you have a basement, and you don't see, is it finished or unfinished underneath this bathroom?
I've got the removable tiles on the ceiling there, so I can see up in there, but I just see wood, you know.
Okay,
actually.
Make sure that you're not seeing any water damage. In other words, if there's any small, slight leak. The other thing that I'd be curious is if you take that ceiling panel off and if you can put your head up in that space, if you smell it there.
Oh, okay.
So now if you have that odor when you take that ceiling tile off, then that's telling me that you have a crack.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, in the short run, what you can do, because the only way you're going to fix this, if I'm right about this, is you got to pull the vanity. Which I know you don't want to do.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I know. But in the short run, I want you to buy a small container of Fresh Wave Crystal Gel. Okay?
Okay. Yeah.
Open it up and put it inside the vanity. That'll help you control the odor short term. But I'm worried that you have a crack pipe and a leak that could cause more of a problem.
For something like that, I've got to call a plumber probably, right?
Here's the way you can test to see if there's a leak as well. If you just run the water, you may not get it to leak. Fill up the sink
with water as high as you can.
Okay.
Take the panel off down below and then pull the stopper so that you get a large volume of water to come down. Then all of a sudden, if you see a drip, then our theory is correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
That's about the only thing it could be correct.
If everything's sealed up, that's what I'm thinking.
That's what I'm thinking. All right. Well, I appreciate that. I have one more question. Have you got time for it?
Sure.
On my gutters on the house, one of the bolt heads broke off holding the bracket, holding the gutter up, you know?
Yeah.
And I can't get the rest of that bolt out. My question is, does that bolt go into a certain spot? Is there a stud or something?
Usually the hangers actually go into the ends of the rafters.
Oh, okay.
Now, that hanger, you could probably put another hanger right next to it.
Okay, and I'll be... Okay, I should be able to go into that at the end of the...
You can buy gutter hangers that come pre-assembled with their own bolt on them, with their
own screw. It doesn't look like the one I had.
They look a little different, right? They kind of got a little curly Q at the top where it hooks on the underside of the gutter on the outside, and then it drives into the rafter.
Correct.
What you can try and do is just angle it a little bit and go into that rafter from the side.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You really want to try and hit that rafter so that it bites because it's a nice long screw.
Yes, it is.
Because more than likely all you have is a piece of 1x4 underneath there that, it would hold it, but if you get a snow load and whatnot on top of that, it could break away. So it's really a good idea to try and hit that rafter when you pull it. Appreciate the phone call. I want to get some other folks on here. This is Steve in Huntley. Steve, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Hey, just want to take you off speakerphone.
All right, I'm off the speaker.
Thank you. Just real quick, I really enjoy listening to you, so you do a fantastic job.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. My wife and I put a bamboo floor in, solid bamboo. It's 7/16 of an inch thick. Love this bamboo. It's a gorgeous color. It's a floating floor on concrete. I live in Sun City.
Okay.
It's a slab. And
Do you see Orion driving around in his golf cart?
I don't. I do look for Orion because I'd like to say hello, but I haven't seen him yet.
His golf cart has the he had it wrapped. You know how they do the commercial trucks, they wrap them in some kind of design where they'll put the logos on. His on one side of the golf cart, it's all corn stalks, and on the other side, it's soybeans.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And then on the back, it's a porterhouse from Jameson's Char House.
Huh.
Yeah. You'll see it. Okay, well, anyway, so you have your bamboo floor over the concrete, yes?
Yes. Now, I didn't pay a lot of attention to the installation because, I remember as a kid, I was in an auto repair shop, and they had a sign for their repair rates, and it said $20 an hour. If you're in the waiting room, $30 an hour if you're in the shop, and $45 an hour if you left.
I remember seeing those signs. That's funny. Steve, you're an old man. Anyway, keep going.
So the installation got done. Everything looked fine, but gosh, really within 3 weeks, we had these massive waves in the floor. Honestly, they were at least three-eighths of an inch high by maybe 2 feet wide, ocean waves in the floor. Now, from the front wall, because these houses are pretty small, from the front wall to the patio door in the back is probably about 30 feet.
Right.
Now, honest, they did not put any a transition, and it does run parallel to the front wall and the back wall, but we had like four substantial waves and then another one right in front of the patio door, and the force was enough to push the patio door out where the seam was split almost a quarter of an inch.
Okay.
The patio door is being pushed out. So the owner came out, he looked at it, and he took up a bunch of boards on the perimeters. It flattened the floor. And they replaced, and this time we paid attention to the expansion space. And it was a good half an inch
around the perimeter of the room.
Correct.
Right.
Within a month, I had the waves back again. Does bamboo expand that much? What?
No, I mean, all right. So a couple things are going on here. So you had a half inch gap when they put it down, and then it expanded that much. So now there's no gap.
Well, you know, we got quarter rounds.
Right. So. Okay, a couple things. The concrete. This is a huge issue. You know, you may have heard me talk about this product called Bone Dry Products, which is a. What you don't see is when I say the name of a product and I grab the horn, Lindsay makes the like tooting sound with her mouth because she knows I'm going to do it, which is pretty funny. Anyway, that product was invented for commercial floor applications. This is what it was for. Anybody listening to me right now that has a concrete slab that's going to put any type of floating floor over the top of it has to use this Bone Dry product on it first, and because it's going to seal any moisture out. You've got excessive moisture coming up out of this floor, and this flooring contractor hopefully put some kind of vapor barrier down, and you could also, Steve, have an issue with the manufacturing of this floor. I mean, at this point, I would call the contractor back. I would also have him contact the manufacturer to have them come out and take a look. When this stuff is installed correctly and the product is a high quality, which it sounds like it is, this should not be an issue at all.
Okay.
So you have to get them back. You need to get the manufacturer involved. And it wouldn't surprise me if you've got a problem with the actual floor itself that has to be pulled up, which I know doesn't sound fun, but you didn't pay all this money to have, lousy work and or a problem with the product itself going through, you know, failing on you. Appreciate the phone call. Hey, before we take a quick break, can I talk a little, pay a compliment to your father, Lindsay?
Sure. It really should be after the break, but let's do it now.
So a while ago, when did your dad, your father, who is your, what does your dad do for his profession? What does he do to what? What did your father do to earn a living to send you to ASU?
He is an endodontist. He does root canals.
He does root, and he's been doing that for how long?
Oh, I mean, since I've known him.
Since you've okay, so a long time.
A long time,
right? And so, but that's not all your father does.
Well, he's always had his hands in, you know, other.
He does a lot of auto body work. He likes gardening.
Kind of.
Long walks in the along the lakefront.
Kind of. He
right?
always has different activities that he
He's
does.
An entrepreneur yes. at heart. And then all of a sudden, 2 years ago?
Well, he's had his hands in this business for the film business for a long time.
All right. So he's had his fingers in the, not only in people's mouths, mm-hmm. but he's had his fingers in the film business
yes.
as well.
Yes.
So like while he has people in the chair,
sure.
like somebody in the film business, oh, you're in the film business?
Got Hollywood on the phone.
And yeah. the guy, yeah, really? You know, you got to scream a little hard. He's going, how about you give me a movie deal? All right. He's pulling stuff out of people's mouths.
Or drilling, yes.
Or drilling.
But recently, about 2 years ago, you're right, 2 or 3 years.
Takes a long time to make a movie.
He is also a golfer. He loves golf, and he read a book called Tommy's Honor. And then when he went...
Who's Tommy?
Tommy is Tom Morris, who was apparently one of the founders of golf. I mean, not the founder, but yeah. if you read the book...
This is funny that you and I are talking about golf, because we don't know anything about golf.
I do. Right. I know.
Right. You should be having this conversation with Steve Cochran. He probably is like related to Tommy.
Right.
Right. Okay. So anyway,
he wanted to make a film about this, a screenplay, an adapted screenplay about this film. So
directed by Jason Connery, based on the book of the same name. Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. And it's the real life story of Tommy Morris, one of the founders of the modern game of golf. And the film's inception can be traced back to the bucket list trip to St. Andrews that the Kreitzers made with an ill friend back in 2010.
Yes. My dad took a friend to Scotland who was sick. And
they played
and
golf in Scotland.
And they played on St. Andrews course, and then this whole idea came to fruition.
All right, so they make this film. You and your family did like a whole pilgrimage to the premiere in Scotland like a year ago.
In the summer, June.
The film was nominated in two categories at the British Academy of Scotland Awards. that were held in Glasgow. And the best feature film and best actor in a feature film for Jack Loudon, who you said is a how you doing guy.
Super cute.
Portrayal of the young Tommy Morris. And it won.
It won, Lou.
Right?
We are just beaming and so proud of him. It won best film. So I call him, he's an Academy Award winner now. The Scottish Academy Award winner. Yeah, it's really exciting. We are just so proud of him.
Right? And so that's awesome.
Yeah.
So the thing is that your mother was probably ready to kill him.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so I can't believe you're doing this. Go drill people's mouths.
She'd say, you're a dentist.
No, he's not.
I know. But well, that's the, you're a dentist. And
you're
then,
a dentist. What are you doing? And then he goes and went, so he gets.
So he's an award-winning dentist.
Right. And so see here, as a man, married for a long time, and your father has been married longer than me, we get very few times when we can go, uh-huh.
I know.
Right?
I know.
We get very, like I have, I think one, I can hold one finger up, and I'm going to guess that your father now has two, because he's been married longer, right? I don't know what the first one was, but this one is a, check me out,
been talking about
right?
It.
Check me out, right?
And then she says, take the garbage out. And we're right back where we started.
Congratulations to Jim Kreitzer, his entire team. I'm sure he would say that he did not do it on his own. I'm sure he had a wonderful group of people around him, but... I've had the pleasure of spending time with your father and mother. They're wonderful people, and congratulations to them on their award, and looking forward to bigger and better things.
And it sounds like it's coming out to select theaters in the United States on April 14th. So,
oh, wow. Cool. Perfect. Yeah. Well, we'll keep you all up to date on that as well. We'll be right back. That's a beautiful name, Myrna. I love that.
I love you, Lou.
I love you, Myrna.
I love you more.
He's more than just a pretty face. Now back to Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
When I need motivation, my one solution is my queen, because she stays strong.
Yeah. 8:37 in the morning. Hey, Wheaton is the next stop on the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour, presented by Allstate. Join me, Lindsay, and the crew out at the restaurant in Wheaton, Ivy's, in a special early open just for WGN Radio listeners for the live broadcast of the Mr. Fix-It Show on Saturday, December 3rd, from 7 to 10 a.m. We'll help you get in the holiday spirit before Wheaton's holiday stroll in downtown Wheaton, and we'll have giveaways from the Lightkeeper Pro, too. Visit the events page at WGNRadio.com for details. WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour is presented by Allstate, Chicago's own good hands. 8:38 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you, the Mr. Fix-It Show. All right. This time of year, we're getting ready for Thanksgiving. Everybody's planning their big meals. And, you know, I know for us, we have 50 people coming over.
5-0?
5-0.
That gets bigger every year.
Yeah, I think it's down. I think it's down this year. Yeah. We're obviously planning our menu. We have the ability to plan our menu, and everybody brings something. It's a wonderful event, but not everybody has the opportunity to do that. And also the fact that there's so many people that are out there hungry. Joining me on the phone line right now is Julie Yurko. She's the president and CEO of the Northern Illinois Food Bank. Julie, it's nice to speak with you again.
Good morning, Lou. It's nice to speak with you as well.
Your work, I would imagine, Julie, at some level, you kind of wish you were out of a job, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would love to be out of a job.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit, and the listeners, about the Northern Illinois Food Bank.
We are a nonprofit organization, and our mission is to solve hunger across the 13 counties of Northern Illinois. How we go about doing that is we go out and we solicit food from manufacturers and retailers, and then we distribute that food to over 800 feeding sites in every one of our communities across those 13 counties. Last year, that equaled the equivalent of 62.5 million meals were distributed to our families in need.
Wow. So, in other words, you'll go to like a ConAgra,
mm-hmm.
right, and say,
yep.
Man, we could really use some whatever it is they make.
Yes, we will absolutely. And what we do, our focus is on product or food that is no longer going to market. So we're hoping to solve their business issue if they have food waste, mm-hmm. and yet that food is perfectly safe and suitable for human consumption. So we say instead of tossing that, which is food waste is a big problem in America, why don't you give us that food and we will handle that safely and take that to our families in need.
How many partners, you know, on these big corporations that you have? I mean, you probably have a lot of partners and a lot of longstanding partners with your organization, correct?
We do hundreds. We are in hundreds of retail stores every week. And then any major manufacturer in the Chicagoland area, we go and we knock on their door and we give them our solution and we'll pick up that food from them often on a weekly basis.
So in other words, you'll go to a grocery store and say, look, you're going to get rid of this stuff because it expires next week. Well, I don't know about that. Well, give me an example, like if you went to a grocery store.
Sure. So we sit down typically with corporate, but then with all of the folks at the store, mm-hmm. and we share with them a list of these are the different products and the condition of the products that we can accept. It could be something that is coming up to its expiration. I don't know about you, but for me, even if it's a box of cereal and I see that it's coming up to its expiration when I'm at the grocery store, I don't purchase that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still good for about 6 months, a year. So we tell them that, and they'll put that in a box for us in the back of their store, and we'll go and pick that up. We'll do the same with produce, dairy. As long as it still is safe for consumption, we'll take it.
Right. Right. The whole point is that you're providing food that is safe for the needy. It's not like you're doing, hey, eat this, you know, these bananas that will really be great for making banana bread.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And what I like to tell our neighbors who are going to come and visit our food pantries or stay at our shelters, have a meal at one of our soup kitchens, this is beautiful product. It's really good product. When you walk in many of our food pantries, it's a grocery-style setup. Often you get a cart, and you're going to go through and get the equivalent of what you're going to be getting if you go out to the store. So I ask them to please consider alleviate some of their financial stress, because that is what is happening for our families. 77% of them are working. They're just not making enough to meet their monthly financial needs. So save your money, come to a food pantry, get some really great food, and then you can use those dollars to cover your other expenses.
Right. And by the numbers here, I'm looking at the Northern Illinois Food Bank helps serve 71,500 hungry neighbors each week across a 13-county area. One in seven people in the service area are hungry. One in five kids are hungry in Northern Illinois. And you provide 62.5 million meals in the last fiscal year to help people out with 800 network partners. I mean, this is a big machine serving a lot of people.
It is. It is a big machine. And what I will say about that machine, though, is it is absolutely reliant on other people choosing to do good.
Right.
You talked about the corporations and the retail partners. They provide 80% of the food we distribute. Our volunteers provide a third of our workforce. We have volunteer shifts at three warehouses, Geneva, Rockford, and Waukegan.
Mm-hmm.
Last year it was 155,000 hours of time. And then we rely on financial contributions, investments in our work. 60% of our budget is given to us. So I do kind of plead to your listeners.
Oh, no, that's great. No, and that's Julie, that's my next question is that, I mean, certainly the corporate partnerships are very important to the whole mission of the Northern Illinois Food Bank, but then those individual donations and even if a smaller company wanted to make some type of donation, how would people get involved both financially and from a product standpoint as well?
Sure. They can visit our website, solvehungertoday.org, or give us a call at 630-443-6910. And they can learn how to get involved. Companies come out all the time and volunteer with us. Bring a team out, sign them up. They'll feel great. They'll have a great day, and you'll look like a great company for bringing your team in. Have a food drive at your office, or if you're an individual, set up a friends page on our website and help raise some dollars for us. There's lots of fun ways to get involved. It just takes all of us coming together because this is a solvable issue. There is enough food. We just got to get it and get it out to our neighbors in need.
For every dollar people donate, the Northern Illinois Food Bank can provide $8 worth of food for a family.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's incredible. I mean, that is incredible.
Yep. For $30, And I'm sorry I can't sell one to you, Lou, but you can get a holiday meal box with a turkey and all the trimmings. You could probably use a few of those next
That's
week.
That's awesome. That's great. That's great. And I mean, the thing is, I know, Julie, we've spoken in the past, and you know, this time of year, people kind of focus on this, but I think it's really important to constantly remind people that hunger isn't just around the holidays.
No. No, it is year-round. It is. As I mentioned, these are working families, so that the financial stress that they feel about paying for their home or their apartment, paying for their utilities, paying for their medicines, mm-hmm. transportation, they feel that all year-round.
Right.
So we encourage people to get involved all year-round.
All right, one more time, the website and the phone number if people want to get involved. And we'll put all this up on our Facebook page and our website as well, but go ahead for people listening.
Sure. Sure. For all your listeners, it's solvehungertoday.org, 630-443-6910. You can also go to that website if you need help. There's a Get Help button. Click on that. We want to help. So if you need some help, please let us know. And then, Lou, I will tell you, you're going to be on the 3rd of December. You're about 15 minutes away from our warehouse in Geneva. If you have a chance, come out and see us.
Oh, really? Well, maybe, yeah. we should figure out a way that we could make that helpful for you as well.
Yeah.
Maybe we could do like a little collection thing out there, Linz. Right? You'll take non-perishable, right?
Absolutely.
Hey,
yes.
get on the horn with whoever's in charge of all that stuff, and maybe if you're going to come out to our, if they come out to our December 3rd broadcast and they bring a non-perishable thing, we can give people something, right?
Sure.
Isn't it sponsored by Lightkeeper Pro? Maybe they'll step in and do something where bring me something. We'll work it out.
Okay, that's
I like
awesome
that.
Fun.
Julie Yurko is the president and CEO of the Northern Illinois Food Bank. All this information we'll put up on our website as well, solvehungertoday.org. If you need help or if you can help, go to that website. We'll put all the stuff up on our website as well. Julie, thanks so much for joining us. Nice to speak with you again, and thank you for everything you do to help feed people in the area, okay?
Thanks for the opportunity to chat, and have a very happy Thanksgiving.
You too. We'll take a quick break. It's 8:47 in the morning. You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show. We'll be back after these. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Back to the phone lines right now, and let's talk to Donna in Lyle. Hi, Donna.
Hey, Lou. I have a shower, stand-up shower with a plastic base, square plastic base, that has a metal rail that mounts on top of that base that holds the sliding doors.
Okay.
It had a bead of caulk where the metal rail meets the plastic base, and the caulk was all moldy and funky, so I pulled all of that out, cleaned it, and getting ready to put a new bead of caulk around that metal rail on the outside of the shower.
On the outside or the inside? Wait. On the outside or the inside?
It was on the outside, so I intended to put it on the outside.
Okay.
But I noticed there's no bead of caulk on the inside of the rail where, you know, the metal meets the plastic base. And it seems to me like water would get under there and then get trapped because of the bead of caulk on the outside of the rail. I guess the question is, do I need to put a bead of caulk on the inside of the shower where this metal rail meets the shower base?
Okay. More than likely that track has some holes in it to allow the water that gets into the track to wick out.
Oh.
See what I mean?
Yep.
And so what it would concern me is if you put a bead of caulk there, you may cover up those little holes or slits on there that then the track would hold water, and then you'd have mildew and mold inside the track.
Yeah, I don't see any holes inside the track.
Really? So what happens to the water that goes in the track?
It's on an angle where it would just run out. You know, the way the
there isn't like a little curb or anything that holds the water.
No, there's no curb or lip where it would get caught in there. It would just, you know, roll off of
it. It would just roll off. Okay. Well,
the shower, right?
If you wanted to put a bead there, you could, but it would have to be such a fine little bead that you have to finish with your finger, because I don't want you to create any kind of lip to hold water. My guess is,
okay,
because it sounds like I'm trying to picture this, it's almost like a shim where it's thicker on the outside and more narrow on the inside. Does that sound about right?
Yep. Yes.
Don't put a bead of caulk.
Okay.
All right. But here's what I want you to do on the outside. When you remove this caulk, how long has that been that it's been off the caulk?
I took the caulk off yesterday, but the shower hasn't been used since Wednesday.
Okay. We want to make sure that that's super dry before you put any caulk back.
Well, I was blow drying it last night. Do I need to wait like another day before I do anything?
Don't tell anybody that you did that, okay? Like when you're at a party, I was blow drying my track on my shower door. They're going to look at you funny.
Right. And see it dry.
Okay. Then put a nice bead of caulk there, tool it with your finger nice and smooth, and then don't use the shower till tomorrow.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Happy Thanksgiving, Donna.
You too.
Bye-bye. I was blow drying my track on my... That's funny. I'll take a quick break and be back.
Stick your nose in. Don't be shy. Really get your nose right in there, really. Oh, there's just like the faintest sousal of like asparagus, and there's a just a flutter of like a nutty Edam cheese. Are you chewing gum?
9:10 in the morning. This is quite possibly going to be my most favorite segment ever. This hour, the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com, by Ace Hardware, and by Lightkeeper Pro. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We're going to get back to your phone calls in just a second. But first, we have a little feature here. We're calling Lou and Lindsay Drink For You So You Don't Have To. Veronica, I was thinking it's a little early to have a glass of wine.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking that because I got up so early, right? From a timing perspective.
Yeah, it's like lunch already.
Right. So in other words, if you were someone that woke up at 8 in the morning, right, and you got up at 8 and you had breakfast, 9, 10, 11, maybe you met for an early lunch, you know, you met some girlfriends, it wouldn't be out of the realm to have a glass of wine.
No, no.
Right, 11 o'clock.
Do you need a designated driver? Because that was always my role. I can do that.
Well, Veronica, what's the shape of your car? Is it clean?
It's clean enough. My son's been driving it, but...
Okay.
And there's homework that I'm sure he'd never finished or never turned in all over the place.
All right. Joining me in the studio is Lindsay. How are we... How many weeks are we going to do this?
We're going to be doing this, I believe, for 6 weeks.
Okay. So Binney's Beverage Depot has been helping Chicagoland celebrate the holiday season since 1948. After almost 70 years, they still remain local and they are family-owned. They have a brand new Binney's in Montgomery with more than 3,000 wines, 2,000 spirits, and 1,500 beers under one roof. Remember, if you can't buy it at Binney's, it's not worth drinking. So this week, we have five wines that we are featuring. And if you're thinking about what should I select, for serving, we're gonna go back and forth. And Lindsay and I are going to actually sample two of them. The first one that Lindsay's going to
sample
is which one?
I have the Pond Hawk Monterey Chardonnay.
Okay, and tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Binney says this is the best value Chardonnay, coming in at $12 a bottle. It's sourced from Monterey's cool climate vineyards to produce bright fruit character of peach, pear, and honeysuckle. Subtle oak enhances and adds complexity, marries well with a wide variety of foods, but especially salads and pastas and baked or broiled seafood. Perfect for me.
Wow. All right. And I am going to sample the Rodney Strong Alexander Valley Crown Cabernet. It's on sale for $64. It's a great cab to splurge on from a single vineyard. It has a sweet pot. When you opened
sweet
it up.
Spot. Not sweet pot.
It has a sweet spot. Thank you. When you open this up, the smell of this cab filled the studio.
It does. You're right.
I mean, it really is good. In Alexander Valley, it's going to bring any lamb or roast beef to a higher place, and with its creme de cassis, black cherry and blueberry, finishes with hints of licorice and loam. So good. All right, here we go.
Chink.
Here we go. We're sampling right now at 9:13 in the morning.
I can't believe I have to watch this.
Oh, well, you can come and have some.
Here,
okay,
come
and
That's really good. And Lindsay brought in glasses because Jeannie was like, oh, you have to find some plastic glasses. Plastic glasses? Okay, here's the thing. This Cabernet, my wife would love this Cabernet. It's really good. It's a nice full body. Some of the other wines that are featured is the Pond Hawk Monterey Chardonnay. Mm-mm. That's what you're drinking. The Santa Monica Cava, $7. It's the best value sparkler for 2016. Great for opening toasts or a base for a mimosa, Bellini, soft and elegant sparkle that can be carried through the entire meal, and it refreshes your palate with every sip.
They've also got the Guide Pinot Noir for $17 a bottle. It's an Oregon Pinot Noir, a stunner for the money, sourced by Binney's Wine Buyers. This Pinot is silky, rich, and round with black cherry cola and a subtle spice flavors. Makes a terrific match with roasted turkey and dressing. Here's
Sam. Here's Sam. And then they also have a Don Runart Blanc de Blancs, $75. It's the best splurge champagne, 100% Chardonnay, 100% elegant, intensely aromatic with ripe citrus, white fruits, and hints of jasmine and minerality. I love this.
Perfect with appetizers and especially oysters, sushi, salmon, and salads. Ooh.
Here you go. One more time.
I'm so glad this is written down because
I know it's so good.
It sounds like we're so
fancy. The whole point is that I know it can be overwhelming when you go to buy wines. My wife is actually she's
good
very good at picking wines. She's very good at remembering what she likes. I mean, we'll go to a restaurant, she'll order a bottle, love it, and or just get a glass. And then she'll ask the waiter or the waitress, say, can you bring the bottle? She'll take a picture. And then all of a sudden, 3 days later, we'll have a bottle, you know, and at home, she'll open up a bottle. Oh, this is that wine we had at that restaurant. And so it just builds on your, because it can be overwhelming, right? To
Sam's drinking it out of the
Paper cup that I said I didn't want to. What did you take, the Chardonnay or the?
I took the one that was closest to Lindsay. I didn't want to come over by you. You're very set up and situated.
You're a classy guy. I took the one that was closest. Yeah, it's good. It's good.
What is that? The twirl? Is that what we call that, Lindsay?
Yeah, we really want to oxygenate it. Really, just give it a good swish. Get your nose. Right
swish.
In there.
Sports term.
Good stuff.
We
right.
Are
sports
put
term.
A photo of all of these wines up on your Facebook page.
Yes, and then can you do a little descriptor too?
Yes.
So you know, we sampled wines today. And these are the great looking wines, whatever. Try to go to Binney's. Go to your local Binney's. They've got a ton of locations. And remember, if you can't find it at Binney's, it's probably not worth drinking. 9:16 in the morning when I come back. Phone calls right after these. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. The Mr. Fix-It Show. This is Jerry in Island Lake. Jerry, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou.
How can I help you, sir?
Installing a laminate floor. What's the aggravation factor?
Well, let me ask you this. Tell me about your skill set.
I'm pretty handy.
It's if you've ever done any kind of flooring before, the fact that most of these floors now are clicked together, it's like assembling it's like assembling a puzzle, and all the pieces are the same. Essentially.
Okay.
You got to do some cutting. You have to, you know, we had an earlier caller today about a problem with a bamboo floor popping up and elevating because of either an installation problem or a product problem. Where are you putting this floor? What part of the home and what is the what's the subfloor like?
The subfloor is OSB, and I've started the floor, and the. I guess problem I'm having is snapping the ends together and then also snapping the lengths together.
Right.
Is there a trick?
Yeah, you need a little rubber mallet.
Okay.
And so you've got to kind of pop, you know, it depends on the floor, but you got to kind of pop that in with a quick little hit and then snap it together. I mean, again, every floor is different, but once you get the trick of how you put the ends together, The specific manufacturer should give you some installation tips as well. What kind of floor are you putting in? Who's the maker?
I have to go look.
Okay.
No.
Well, okay. Look, I mean, the thing is, there should be specific. A little rubber mallet's going to help you put the ends together and then snap together. And when you get to the end where you have to put a piece in, then it's the you've got to keep enough of a gap. So that you, you know, when the floor is in, there's expansion. And there on the very end, you probably need something called a Wonder Bar, which helps you kind of pop it in because you can't get a hammer against a wall so that you can bring it all together and then pop the floor all in. The key with any laminate is that you have an underlayment that's a moisture barrier, and then you also leave enough gap around the perimeter of the floor to make sure that you allow for expansion and contraction. Otherwise, you could end up with a wavy floor. Here's Dave in Indiana. Dave, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How can I help you?
Well, we just moved from our home in Illinois to our home that we've had for years down here in Indiana, and we're putting some, of course, furniture from Illinois in this house, and then moving the furniture out, of course, that leaves some dents in the carpeting where the old furniture used to be. So
okay.
Can you help me? Best way to get up those dents.
You want to take the best way to do it is you're going to first go with your hand over the top and try and get the fibers to elevate. Then if you take a nylon scrubbing brush, okay, almost like you're combing the carpet, kind of work the fibers back and forth to pop it up and bring it up back where it needs to be. If you are you going to clean the carpets before you leave or no?
Well, we're already here. This is the house that we're living in now in Indiana. This is where we've moved some furniture around, and we have the.
Oh, okay. I see. So it's okay. So it's not the house you're moving from. Okay. So then, if you dampen the fibers a little bit, if you take a little spray bottle with some warm water, and you spray those spots and just get them damp, not super wet, and then take that nylon brush and try and get those fibers to stand back up. Then do a little vacuuming over the top with the brush on the vacuum cleaner. You should get those back to where they need to be. And then ultimately, if you clean the carpets and really got a little bit of water in there and pulled it up with a nice scrubber on the, like a rug doctor or something like that, it would really stand up all those fibers and the carpeting should look great. Appreciate the phone call. 9:24 in the morning. 9:26 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you, the Mr. Fix-It Show. This is Kathy in Chicago. Hi, Kathy. You're on WGN.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm good. How can I help you?
Well, we listen to you every Saturday, so I have something for you today.
Thank you.
We have a back porch, old Chicago bungalow, about 100 years old. Back porch is enclosed. It slopes down because maybe a long time ago it used to be so the water could run off.
Okay.
So because the floor is level and then it slopes about maybe a foot and a half toward the backyard. So the windows, they're like in a bay kind of, they're kind of straight across. The windows that are probably also 100 years old are starting to, are falling out. So there's gaps. We want to replace the windows. We were all ready to do that.
Okay, wait. Okay, all right, keep going.
So, but then we're wondering if a couple of people said maybe the porch is sinking. And so we said, well, if we're going to spend $15,000 or whatever they're telling us to put in new windows, we don't want to do that if it's going to continue sinking down. But we can't really tell if it truly is sinking or it, because it's been this way 100 years. The windows are coming out now. So I did have...
Okay, wait. The windows that we're talking about are in the house or on the porch?
They're on the back porch.
Okay, so the windows are part of the porch. Okay.
Yes. So it's an enclosed area,
mm-hmm.
and it would, in the very end of the floor, slopes down toward the backyard.
Right.
Maybe it's about 2 feet that slopes down. So then the window sills, obviously, on two of the sides slope down.
Right.
They're not straight across. And so those windows have big gaps. Like there's an inch gap we had to fill in right now. So mm-hmm. to keep the air out. And
I wouldn't do any work on the windows, replacing the windows, until you're certain that the porch is sound and viable. Okay? And that, you know, it's a little tricky to get the right people to come out and take a look.
Yeah,
but
because I've gotten a bunch of different answers, and some people say we have to tear it all down. I don't think we should need to tear it down. It just needs to be supported properly.
Right.
It's not in bad shape. If you see it, it's...
Right.
It looks
The problem with getting it level and sound when you start messing with an old design like that, there are... Mm-hmm. The minute you touch it, You have to. There's new codes when as it pertains to back porches that the city has that you have to adhere to. And so many contractors will look at it and say, you know what, I don't want to touch this thing because I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this. And by the time I do all that, it's going to cost you as much as building a new porch.
Right. And plus it would tear up our whole yard, which is very nice.
Correct.
Because they would have to bring in all that equipment.
Correct.
It's a very tiny yard.
Correct.
We don't know what to do. The back porch is falling apart. We don't want to tear it down. We just want to have it supported. We had people say they could put in jacks. But that's only guaranteed for 5 years. Well, what do we do after that if we spend money to put the windows?
Well, and so this you're caught here, Kath, that you have to Well, no, and I mean the thing is that if you're going to stay in this house, okay, or I'll tell you this: if you're not going to stay in the house and you're going to go to sell it, when you go to sell that house, that porch is going to become an issue.
Mm-hmm. How come it wasn't an issue when we bought it 8 years ago?
Well, because the codes have changed dramatically since then. I mean, they were changed 8 years ago, but now because of a lot of different market conditions, you're gonna see that it's gonna become a major issue. You know, one other person you could call is I want you to call Cobblestone Development. They do a lot with back porches. Hold on a second, and we'll get that. Do you have that phone number for Cobblestone? They can at least come and assess for you. They do full service remodeling, but they've done a lot of work with back porches. They may tell you the same thing, that you got to tear it down, but at least I know I'm sending you somebody that knows what they're doing and can give you an honest opinion. Not that the other people aren't giving you an honest opinion, but the fact that. You just want to make sure you're spending money the right way to make sure you're making the right decision long term. Don't put any windows in this thing until you know it's sound. That's for sure, okay?
And we call it a phone, but we don't really use it much as a phone, do we? No, we don't.
Time for Just Text Me.
I don't have to talk. Oh, my God, I got to talk. Talking is work. You've got to make facial expressions. You got to suck air in. You got to blow it out.
I got to tell you. I like the drinking wine in the morning. Now, I just had a small little glass. But the Binney's people are right. This Rodney Strong Alexander Valley Crown Cabernet is a great splurge Cabernet. Wine is definitely one of those things where you get what you pay for. It's delicious. I don't normally say that about a wine at 9 o'clock in the morning.
I do.
Okay. It's time for our Just Text Me segment. Sponsored by iwantsmart.com. What do you have for us this morning?
Well, let's see. There we go. Lou, I'm going to insulate my windows today and was wondering what will work better, putting the thick plastic on the windows or the thin?
Well, you know what I'm disappointed about the whole plastic liner on the windows is we can't come up with a better solution.
It's kind of ugly.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it's annoying to have to do it.
It's not annoying. Well, yeah, I guess. I mean, it's the thicker plastic you can't see through. So the fact of the matter is that if you go with the thinner one that's crystal clear, and you do it right, you won't even know it's there. But remember, once it's sealed up, then you have to. If you have window treatments you're going to do under the plastic, you got to make sure you set them because you can't get at it anymore. I would just use the thin. You know what? 3M makes one of the better 3M, Duck Brand, Mecklenburg, Duncan. These are all three brand names that buy the good stuff and do it right, and you should be fine.
All right. Which way do you direct your ceiling fan for the winter months?
Up.
Up.
So when you're standing under it, they don't all turn the same way, but typically... I believe counterclockwise is the way the majority of fans, when you're looking up at them, circulate to blow the air down. And you turn them around and go the other way. The whole reason you do that is so you don't feel the draft when it's on you when you're sitting there. And that way it pulls it up and circulates the air.
Oh, that makes sense. Is that the same for the summer then?
Well, that's for the summer.
Because I can never remember.
Well, you want to feel the air flowing. You just figured this out?
Yeah, I did.
I really do.
But,
sometimes I forget that you're blonde.
Always,
you're so smart.
Hello. But
I know.
People always text you and say which way because they always forget. So I feel like other people out there are going, oh, Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, I've only said that. I've only said that for the past 20 years.
708. Good morning, Lou.
Have another glass of wine.
Oh, stop. I'm in hot water with my better half. Could you help me? I finally got around to blowing some leaves off the front walkway, and they left a big black stain. Is there anything to clear that up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Concrobium mold eraser. Comes in a giant, looks like a giant vitamin bottle. You're going to mix it with some water, warm water, stir it up. It's going to percolate. You know, I love that word.
You do.
And I just sent that, I texted somebody about, oh, just let it percolate.
No, and you just,
I sent it to you, but then I sent it to somebody else.
And you're talking about a WGN TV yesterday.
I love the word percolate because doesn't it paint the picture?
It makes me think of the song. And then
what's
you during the percolator.
What's the song? Percolate?
Isn't that a dance move? The percolator.
I've never heard of that.
I just stepped back in the office and heard percolator.
Do you know that dance move?
Do you know that dance
move? It's time for the percolator.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't know the move, but I know the song.
I don't know the move either, but I picture you doing this weird like dance move.
You picture me or?
No, Lou. Whenever
you talk about it. Is that like the sprinkler?
No, I think it's, I'm going to Google it.
When I say percolate to someone, right, a percolator, aren't you thinking of the coffee maker with the little glass thing at the top? And it goes, boop, boop. I'm so old. Okay. Concrobium mold eraser for the stains. You're not in hot water. You'll be fine. Do it, and it'll be, do it today. You'll be fine.
So according to Urban Dictionary, in order to percolate, you must rapidly gyrate your legs
yes,
in
that's
time
what I'm thinking.
With
that's
the music,
what I was thinking.
As well as pop your booty.
Yes, that is what I was thinking. And I didn't want to say it on the air. I didn't know that 100% was it, but that's what I picture you doing. Every
I've
time
never,
you say, oh,
I've never,
late.
I'm gonna go out on a limb that say I've never heard of that, and most of the people listening right now have not.
Probably not.
Okay.
But now you're gonna laugh every time you say percolate.
I need to see the video.
Can I use wet? Can I still use wet and forget on the siding of the north side of my house this year, or do I have to wait for springtime?
No, you can put it on. You know, once we get to a hard frost, I mean, I know it's going to be cold the next few days, but if you wanted to do it today when it's, you know, it's going to get up into the 40s, I think, so, or, you know, high 30s, you're fine. Absolutely fine.
All right. That's this week's Just Text Me, Mr. Percolator.
Sponsored by iwantsmart.com. 9:45 in the morning, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's take a call right now. We have Nancy who's hanging on. Nancy is in Cedar Lake. Hi, Nancy. You're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. You know, yesterday I had Four Seasons come out to just do a general maintenance check on our furnace.
Okay.
And they found a crack in the heat exchanger and showed us, I don't know, I guess we could kind of see a hairline fracture. And they were concerned about, you know, carbon monoxide. Their recommendation is to get a new furnace. Our furnace is 10 years old, and a new heat exchanger, where they said would cost $2,200. I want to know what your thoughts on that are, and maybe if we do decide to go with a new furnace, what the cost for a new furnace should be, either on a one-stroke or a two-stroke.
Did they give you an estimate?
Yeah, they did.
And?
Well, they said on the model, because we're in a condo, they said that it would cost like about $4,000 for a one stroke. And if we went with a more higher efficiency one, you know, it would be somewhere between two stage. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I like how you say I like the one stroke and two stroke. That's funny.
I'm sorry. Anyway, it's somewhere between $4,500 and $5,000.
Okay, and that is just for the furnace only?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, couple things. You know, a cracked heat exchanger does have the potential for carbon monoxide leakage. You know, and the thing you have to remember is any flame, any combustible flame, creates carbon monoxide. Now, I assume that you have carbon monoxide sensors in your home.
Yes.
Nancy, that doesn't sound convincing.
Yes, we do.
You sure?
Yes.
All right. And they're not going off, right? What's the age of those carbon monoxide sensors?
Oh, probably older than they should be.
Okay. Well, here's what I would do today is I would go to the hardware store in Cedar Lake, and I'd buy two new carbon monoxide detectors, carbon monoxide smoke detector combos, okay? And put one in near the sleeping area of your home. Like, do you have a hallway outside of the bedroom? How many bedrooms do you have in that condo?
Two.
Okay, so you have a little hallway that leads to those bedrooms?
Yes.
So put one there, and then put one out in the main living area, okay? So you have brand new carbon monoxide and smoke detectors. That's job one. I'd get a couple other estimates to come out and take a look at the furnace, and specifically ask them about if there's any cracks in the heat exchanger. You know, we need an estimate on getting a furnace. Can you tell us this? An honest opinion. Now, you're in Cedar Lake. Cedar Lake is, give me another community that's near Cedar Lake.
St. John, and we're, you know, Dyer, Munster.
Okay. So I want you to call, I want you to go to the website iwantsmart.com, okay, and find a heating and air conditioning contractor to come out and give you an estimate and find out if, in fact, double check to make sure that, in fact, this is a crack in your heat exchanger. Kind of the magic number when it comes to furnaces is 15 years. Okay. And, you know, depending on what you want to do, as far as from an investment standpoint, you may be able to get an estimate from somebody to say, hey, we can change out that heat exchanger for $1,500. Okay. I'm just throwing a wild number out there. If that number is under $2,000, if that all in is under $2,000, I would probably be more inclined to tell you to have the heat exchanger swapped out and not replace the furnace.
Well, thank you.
But I would also double check it all to make sure that, in fact, this is the case. And but I'm more concerned with making sure you have the right detectors in there to make sure that you're safe sleeping through all this. So I need you to promise me, Nancy, that you're going to the hardware store today to buy two new carbon monoxide and smoke detectors.
Yes, you do. I thank you for, yes, I will.
All right, Nancy. I'm going to hold you to that. I'm going to call you back and hunt you down if you don't. It's 9:50 in the morning. We'll be right back. Happy trails to you. Thank you so much for listening. 9:53 in the morning. Thanks to Veronica and Sam and Lindsay and Fergie. And for Townstone Financial for sponsoring our last call this morning, which is Barbara in Justice. Hi, Barbara. You're on WGN.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a plumbing issue.
Okay.
I had a plumber out about a month ago. He came and routed out my sink because it was backing up. And he replaced the trap on it. But he routed it out, and it still wasn't draining.
Okay.
So he said he needed a longer cable, which he had to order, and it took like a week. Anyway, long story short, he came out with the longer cable, and it still wasn't draining. The cable stretched from the kitchen all the way to the other side of the house. And what he said is that he's going to have to cut a hole in the ceiling tile in the basement. And the ceiling tile is tongue and groove. I don't know if that's like corrugated material.
Mm-hmm.
He has to cut a hole in there and see if he can find the pipe that transfers over to the like a junction
right,
in there
right.
and clean that out. In the meantime, water was coming up in the sink still after he left. So just enough to get to maybe halfway through the drain.
Right.
So I siphoned it out to below that last kind of round part in the drain.
You're very handy, Barbara.
I don't know about that. Anyway, I siphoned it out, and it's still backed up. I still got water in the sink. So I told him about it. In the meantime, what happened is I've only been using the bathroom upstairs. And just the toilet facilities and the kitchen and the sink, excuse me. I didn't use anything downstairs. But all of a sudden, the water drained to a point that I could see down into the pipe. So I thought, oh, great, it's fixed.
Right, magically.
So I filled it with water to see if it would go down, and it didn't.
Okay. Well, you obviously have some major blockage at some joint or angle or elbow that needs to be dealt with. And how much have you invested with this plumber so far?
Nothing, because he hasn't asked for money yet.
Oh, all right. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
And
he gave me a price.
And he's a licensed prompt plumber?
Yeah, I went through an outfit that we've worked with before.
Okay.
I think he's licensed.
Okay.
I don't know. I didn't ask.
All right. Those are the types of things I want to make sure that people are asking, you know, just to make sure you're getting somebody that knows what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, if he's tried to rod this thing out like crazy and can't get it to break, you probably have to open up that ceiling and get to that joint so that he may have to cut a pipe at that point. You know, it's not uncommon. How old is your home, Barbara?
It's about 68 years old.
You know, more than likely you have some galvanized piping, and sometimes there can be a blockage that is just like concrete, just from years and years and years. And you just, when that rod, the longer the rod is, the less force it has to cut out the joint. And so sometimes a plumber has to come and cut out a section and replace it to get it to drain. And so if you trust this guy, then I would have him come back, and unfortunately you're going to have to open up that ceiling. If you want to get a second opinion, you know, there's a couple of sources like Plumbers 911 and PermaSeal, which are both licensed. Plumbers 911 is an organization of many licensed plumbers throughout the Chicagoland area, and PermaSeal is a trusted source of plumbing services and waterproofing services that can you know, come out and give you a second opinion. Again, you probably have to open that thing up to make sure that it's you know, that they're going to have to break it loose. That's for sure. Hang on a second. Let's send you out a Mr. Fix-It Loose Screw t-shirt, courtesy of our friends at Fox Home Center in Alsip, and created by Rags of Honor, helping veterans get back on their feet. Don't go away. The girl's coming up.